This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Only those who wish to listen may do so.
That's a thinker.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What is your sense of Rodgers' participation in the spring?
He's here, he's present. And when I say present, I mean he's fully engaged. And it's really cool just to watch him operate from play to play and in the way he works.
Earlier on the show, Chargers general manager Tom Telesco. Still to come, Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot, NBA on TNT analyst Kenny the Jet Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just chatted with Tom Telesco, the general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers. In just a matter of seconds, I'll be saying hello to the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, Terry Fontenot. And then hour three, Kenny the Jet Smith will be joining us from the great city of Atlanta, where he will be getting set to head inside the NBA studios once again for not one but two game fives tonight that are pivotal, as we like to call them. They're either decisive, as the Lakers at Warriors and Heat at Knicks maybe later on this week, but tonight's games are pivotal because this series pivots on it. Somebody's going to go up 3-2, and whoever does that has an 80% chance of winning their series. We'll talk about that with Kenny the Jet Smith, who's got a new book out on his life. That's coming up. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo in their spots. TJ Jefferson in his spot. Give us a call if you want this hour. We've got some time for you. But joining us right now on our guest line is the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, Terry Fontenot. How you doing, Terry?
Rich, I'm great. Always appreciate you having me. Look, mm-hmm. speaking of Jets, mm-hmm. I watched your run this year.
Yes, sir.
And first of all, it's really cool what you do for St. Jude.
Thank
and
you.
All the money you raise.
Thank you.
And with the kids that were on the video, that really inspiring. And so it's really awesome
Thanks.
What you do.
Appreciate that.
Now,
but
as we get to the 40, yeah, there's
yes.
a but, man.
Yeah, yeah. There
you're,
is.
You're getting slower.
I know.
Right?
Yep.
Because you were, a couple years ago, you were sub-6.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you have a running coach, but your form, it's there's no gait. It's like you're real tight in the hips, and
uh-huh.
you don't really open up. So what are we doing to get better, man?
Well, great question, Terry. Let me take this one at a time. First of all, thank you about the fundraising. Secondly, you seem like a very smart, with it individual. So, do you think I've got a running coach, Terry?
You definitely have a run. You have to have a running coach.
All right, let me write that down. No, I do not. And what am I going to do to get better?
So you don't prepare. You just show up and run.
Yeah, that's what I do. By the way, you sound like my wife right now, okay? That's literally what my she's constantly, Susie's constantly saying, you got to train, you got to do this, you got to do that.
Yeah.
Next year is my 20th run, my 20th. I'm going to, trust me, next year you're going to see me shooting up your draft board next year.
Let's get you a running coach. Let's
okay.
get you in some yoga, some flexibility.
Okay.
Open up that gate. Let's try to improve. Let's get your best time this year. How about that?
I like it. You're very. You know what needs to be done? Just get Arthur Smith on my case. He strikes me as somebody who's got some stick-to-itiveness. You know what I mean?
I'm going to do that. He'll get after you. He'll get you going.
You know, I kind of felt like Peter Skoronski sometimes in my interviews with him. I feel like I'm boring him, Terry. You know?
You're never boring, man.
Okay.
You've never. I listen to a lot of your shows. You're never boring.
You hear when Arthur comes on, he's, you know, he's get those zingers in there every now and then on me.
Yeah, he gets after you.
He does get after me. Let's jump in about your draft. I love Bijan Robinson. I thought you should take him. I'm glad that you did. Walk me through your process on taking a running back in this day and age in the top 10 of an NFL draft. Terry Fontenot,
yep,
please.
Yep, and really the way we look at it, Rich, is when you're we can have these rules, or people can have these rules, that you don't take a running back at a certain point or a guard at a certain point. You have to take a premium position. But what we say is, tell me the player and who's the particular running back that's sitting there. And when it's a guy like Bijan Robinson, who we don't even put in a running back box, and when we talk about positionless football, and he's an impact offensive player, and wherever he is, wherever you get him the ball, He's a playmaker. He's a touchdown maker. He's a home run hitter, and he's got the makeup. He's a better person than he is a player. So we know he's going to reach his ceiling. So We believe he is one of the better players in the draft, one of the better people in the draft. So we're really excited to pull that card off the board.
Now, when did you decide this? When was this sealed? Like, hey, if Bijan's there, we're taking him. When did that happen?
What happens is you go through it, and there's seven variables in front of us, and this was a more unpredictable draft than I can remember in that top 10. So we really didn't know who was going to be there, who we were going to be staring at. So what we have to do is we have to stack eight players and go through it. And the questions we ask ourselves are when we stack the players is, okay, if these three players are there, if these four players are there, how do we stack them? And so that's what we did. And once we got to our pick, he was the top guy for us, and we're excited to take him.
And the off-the-field demeanor as well for him, how does that factor into your equation?
Man, unbelievable. Like have you met him?
I have. We've had him on the show, and he's a delight. And I've heard nothing but just great things about him, quite frankly.
Yes, and that's so important because our goal here is, you know, my job description, Arthur Smith's job description is to win championships and to have sustained success. In order to do that, you have to have championship character. We have to have the right kind of players and the right kind of people. And so we're really excited about a lot of players on our offense as we go through it with Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Tyler Allgeier and CP and Jonnu, and we can keep going through it. We have a lot of players who are really excited about it, but the thing we love about our team is they're unselfish, and it's the only stat that matters is wins. It's not about who gets the ball the most or who gets the most yards or who has the most touchdowns on this particular day. It's all about winning. So it is. The character is always going to be paramount when we're making any type of player decision. You look at the theme of our offseason, look at the free agents that we sign, and then as we get into the draft, when we're making a decision on a player, character is going to be the most important thing. And so he is. He's a hell of a player, but he's also an unbelievable person.
Well, you mentioned, Terry, about this draft being so unpredictable, one of the most unpredictable in recent memory. And, you know, as somebody who's hosted this thing for a while, I'd agree with you on that front. One of the most unpredictable aspects about the draft that came out in the wash was two running backs chosen in the top 12, like it's a totally different century. So I just had Tom Telesco on the phone, your colleague in Los Angeles, who's got one of the top touchdown makers this league has seen in the last couple of years, wanting a new contract at the position, and he has yet to receive that from the Chargers. You've now chosen one of the draft choices in the top 12 on a running back. Walk me through the way the running back position you think in this league is being evaluated right now, Terry.
It depends on that team, Rich. You know, it depends on the most important thing is for the players that you draft, the players that you acquire, whether you're talking about free agency or the draft, you have to have conviction on the players you're taking, and you have to have a clear vision for how you're going to utilize them. And so when we're together, again, you know Arthur Smith and the type of person he is and how he sees the game. And so we have a lot of smart people in this building. And when we sit down and go through it, we determine, okay, what's the vision for this player, whoever it is? What's the vision? How are they going to be utilized? And how are they going to fit into what we do? So that's why you go through everyone's draft board, everybody's draft board. You have 32 different draft boards because that team is going to take the best player for them. So when we discuss it, again, we don't put him in a running back box. We discuss him no different than Drake. We didn't take Drake because he was the best available receiver. We took him because he was the best player for us, and we had a clear vision of how we're going to use him, much like Kyle Pitts a year ago. When we're taking players, we're not thinking about position. We're thinking about the impact they're going to have for us, and we have a clear vision in how we're going to utilize them.
Terry Fontenot, General Manager, Atlanta Falcons, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Another way to help out a quarterback who's kind of new to the starting role, as yours is in Desmond Ridder, get him a run game, get him protected. And again, you used your second round choice on the offensive tackle, Matthew Bergeron out of Syracuse. But you also get him a tight end, and you already have one of those. And what a decision that was to take Pitts where you've taken him, and you took a tight end, you know, top four, and now you're taking a running back top eight and a quarterback in the second round, or you're given a shot here. Is this, walk me through your decision making on these being your some of your tent pole guys and your expectation level here for the offense in year two for Desmond Ridder, Terry?
Yeah, well, when it comes, we do believe that hey, you build a team front to back, inside out. So you have to invest in the front. And that's always going to be the most important thing. We are going to invest in the front. And so we're talking about players that we drafted in the top 10 over the last 3 years, but we've also made major investments up front. You talk about a couple years ago, extending our left tackle, Jake Matthews, and then extending Grady Jarrett, our defensive tackle, a year ago. And this year, to be able to make Chris Lindstrom the highest paid guard in the league, and to be able to extend Caleb, and the investments we made with, as we go through our defensive line, with Calais Campbell, Bud Dupree, David Onyemata, bringing back Lorenzo Carter. So we believe that the most important thing is the front. We have to invest, whether it's draft capital, whether it's free agents. We need to invest, because we believe the way you're going to really win games and have sustained success is establishing the line of scrimmage. We want to have tough, violent, physical fronts, and we believe in the identity that we have. And so we want to continue to add to that. But that being said, yes, when you can add offensive weapons that can help out, because we believe in our team. We believe in Desmond because of the person he is, the leader he is, the way he works. We believe he's gonna get the most of his ability because of the person he is and the way he's going to work. And we believe in our team, and it takes a total team, offensively, defensively. You got to have balance. You have to be able to run the ball. You have to have playmakers, and you have to be able to rush the quarterback and take the ball away on defense and stop the run. So we believe we want to continue to make the total team better, and that's going to help everyone.
Well, what's Desmond Ridder's expectation level then? What do you got for me for this fall?
We want him to – look, my office actually – faces or I can look right out my window and see the field, and man, whatever, every time I turn around, there's guys out there working, and they're doing their best to get better, and that's who Desmond is, and he's a worker. And you look at, he wasn't highly recruited coming out, and all he did was went to Cincinnati and became one of the winningest quarterbacks in college football, and no one will say that anything was given to him. He earned everything that he got, and we expect the same of him here. And he has that mindset. He's going to earn everything he gets. And we love our team. We love the character and identity of our team, and he fits right in there.
So then let me ask you this way then. I mean, you had so many options. Arthur, when he was on last month, said, of course you guys talked about Lamar Jackson. You talk about everything, yes. And then you made your decision. And then you kicked the tires, I'm sure, on a ton of kids in this year's draft at the quarterback position, had them in for visits and things of that nature. Why did you eventually land on Desmond Ridder as your guy?
Yeah, well, it's about just what you said. You have to weigh him out, and you have to go through that process with every, whether you're talking about draft picks or a lot of talented quarterbacks in this draft. And same thing through free agency. There are a lot of talented players, and you have to go through that process and weigh it out. And you're always thinking about how you're going to affect the total team, and there are different blueprints to do this. And some teams can pay a lot of money to quarterback, and some teams can have a quarterback on a rookie contract or have a mid-tier. There's a lot of different blueprints, and teams have had success in every way. So it's our job to weigh everything out, and we do that, and we'll continue to do that. But for us, with where we are right now, we're very excited about, again, not just Desmond, but the total team.
Okay. And then, you know, the division, Brady's gone. It seems completely wide open for you to take. You could have even had it last year, you know, if not for, you know, many things, obviously, but a roughing the passer penalty that took place in a game in Tampa. Did you guys weigh in on that subject matter at all about having roughing the passer in any way, shape, or form reviewed? Did you weigh in on that subject?
We go through the process. You know, there's a well-defined process through the league that you have to go through, and we did that. We went through that whole process. But the way we look at it is, look, if you're one play away, and you lose, or sometimes you're going to get the coin flip, sometimes you're not, you know, and so we can only control the things that we can control.
Okay.
And that's where we always focus. But we really are, we truly believe in our building, the mindset of our building, whether we're talking about the staff, the coaches, the players, we come in here every day and do the very best we can to get better. And so we really believe that last year, the year before, we worked as hard as we could to maximize, to fight and claw and scratch and try to win every single game we could. And we really believe in our staff, and we believe in our team at this point. And I know we're going to do the same thing this year. We're going to show up. We're going to control what we can control. We're going to try to win every day, and every time we go out there when they roll the ball out, I know we're going to fight and claw to the end.
That's my bad. I didn't want to ask that question in a way where your answer might be construed as you're making excuses. Do you want roughing the passer reviewed as a member of the Atlanta Falcons organization, Terry Fontenot, or not? What do you think?
I got it. That's a great question. I mean, you always look at ways to you never want to slow down the game. And mm-hmm. look, the referees, they have a hard enough job. They have a really hard job to do.
Right.
I haven't thought about it a lot. To be completely honest with you, I would say probably if it affects us in a positive way, then I'd want it to help us. But I wouldn't want it.
Good answer, Terry Fontenot. Good answer.
Whatever helps us the most, man. That's all we care about.
Okay. Did you catch the part of the NFL Network draft coverage when the Atlanta Falcons superfan Vinny Dorsey stepped to the stage and announced, I believe, your seventh-round draft choice, right? Vinny announced your seventh-round draft choice. He welcomed Javon Gwynn to the NFL, and then he got heckled. Yeah. He got heckled. Yeah. Did you catch that one?
And look how he handled it, man. Isn't he a stud?
Yeah.
Have you had him on your show yet?
I need him. I'll take him.
You got to get him on your show, man. That's impressive. Do the video, right? Get him on your show on a video so he can wear that suit. That thing's outstanding. I need to get a suit made like that.
But, yeah, I know.
But you love that. Like, look, we do. We have a really – our fan base is – we have a really passionate fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And that he kind of epitomizes, like, when he's up there and, okay, people can heckle and they can say whatever they want. But I love that, man, because I feel like that's the type of team we have, too.
We
have a tough, aggressive team.
Yeah.
And we – we'll challenge anybody at any point, and it's cool to see him up there doing that, but you need to get him on your show.
Yeah, no, it seems like that Arthur Smith would have responded the same way. Yeah, we've never heard that one before. But do we know, was it a Saint fan or Patriot fan who heckled him? Do we know the DNA of any of this, Terry? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay, we got to find that out.
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe you can find out.
I'm on it. I'll be on that. You've got other fish to fry. Thanks for the call, Terry. I greatly appreciate it. Let's do this more often. Say hi to my buddy Arthur for me, will you, please?
I will.
And by the way,
you know, appreciate you.
You know what?
We need to get you a running coach.
Mm-hmm.
Get you're not. I think it's a flexibility thing. I really do. But we can get you back sub six.
Okay.
This year, and you'll raise even more money.
Okay. How about this? I'll get a running coach if you get Arthur Smith a smiling coach. Can you do that for me?
Wow.
A smile?
Yeah, smiling coach.
Oh, man.
Teach him how to smile. I mean, the photograph at the owner's meeting of all the coaches, I mean, you know, he just looked like, you know, you got to tell his face to be happy. You know what I mean?
I got to look at the picture. Was he angry in that picture?
Well, I think it's just that I personally think, again, I don't know him all that well. I just think this is his default look, you know, which is just like he said he had things to do. He didn't want to he, like, you know, what am I doing here?
His
son's in his eyes. He's in the third row because he's really tall. And he's just like, what's happening? You know, like that's what
so
it seemed
he
like.
Is, okay. So he's an intense. He is
yep.
very intense.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Yes.
But he's when you're around him and I mean, I'm sure you've been around him a little bit, but. Mm-hmm. He's got a really good personality.
Yes.
He's actually funny,
yes.
And he's more laid back than you think. But he loves to win, and he wants to do everything he can. That's what I love about him. He wants to do anything he can to win at every cost. And he is very like if someone, whether it's he loves the coach, our coaches, our staff, our players, and he wants to do the very best he can for them. So. Maybe that is his default. But
I think so.
He does smile sometimes.
Because I did get the sense, like, why am I taking a picture? How does that help me win? Like, so that I believe, like, that's what's happening, which is why he needs a smiling coach. That's what I'm saying. I need a running coach. He needs a smiling coach. And I think we should
just. That's probably what he was thinking, right?
Okay,
then.
Exactly.
Exactly. Like,
I've got to take this picture. How does this help me win for the Atlanta Falcons? So I think
I think
we've all come to a conclusion. I need a running coach. He needs a smiling coach. So let's just
figure.
Thanks, Terry. Greatly appreciate it. You take
care. Talk to you soon, Rich.
That's right. That's Terry Fontenot, everybody, of the Atlanta Falcons right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And it was a fun chat.
I feel like he wanted to keep chatting.
You know what?
Which is, you know, the opposite
of Tom Telesco.
Yeah.
But
right.
In all fairness, that interview was about 17 minutes. If this was another 5 minutes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
Plus, you couldn't take that chance.
I couldn't. No, I had to get out. I had to get out early.
Yeah, you know. You could.
I have asked, by the way, I don't know if we've received this
Better
yet.
To leave early than stay too late.
What's coming back from the Rich Eisen Show production staff is, in fact, the drop of Tom Telesco saying, all right, Rich, you take care.
Okay. All right, hey. Thanks, man.
I want to hear that one more time. We'll have that as a drop that you can play whenever you want, and so can Jay Felly whenever you think I've gone on too long.
Tom Telesco was like Tom Wamsgans, kicking everyone out.
Oh, yeah. Good night.
Everybody, you got to go.
Spoiler alert.
I don't even know who that is.
It's 48 hours. Only 48 hours. Succession has been amazing. All right. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Still to come on this program. Kenny the Jet Smith. Talking NBA playoffs and more. When we come back, we find out which Pro Bowler's mom reveals something else about the schedule. Let's talk about sleep, people. No matter who you are, you want to reach your full potential. And every person and every night are different. When you sleep on a Sleep Number smart bed, though, you are finally harnessing your unique potential every night, no matter what each night brings. Next level people like you need next level sleep. My Sleep Number setting is 60, and my wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but that is the world of difference because we can choose our ideal comfort and support on our side of the bed and change it whenever we like, and it helps us sleep so comfortably. You can see how well you slept, too, the next day, along with personalized insights for even better sleep with your Sleep IQ score. Sleep next level. Unlock your unique potential with a smart bed that can perform as well as you. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. See store for details. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Back on the air, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Great chats with the general managers of the Chargers and the Falcons, Tom Telesco, and also Terry Fontenot. Terry Fontenot drafting a running back 8th overall. And Tom Telesco having a contractual set to, it appears, with his veteran running back who means so much to the team. And telling Austin Eckler a contract will be coming shortly somewhere else if he wants to go seek it. Oof. Which is a rough one to tell somebody Austin Eckler. And it seems there are some hard feelings for sure. So it's just a fascinating subject matter to me, the running back position in the NFL. And I just don't get it. When you've got somebody like Eckler, I'd want to keep him there for as long as possible, you know. But it must be the case where they have the metrics. You see it all. You hit age 30, and it's a totally different story. And why do you want to pay somebody when you can get similar, close to numbers out of the draft? And then you see somebody like the Falcons say, Bijan Robinson, 8th overall, even though we have a host of running backs that might have been available on fantasy waiver wires, but Kamara has one of the more stout running attacks in the league. You heard Terry Fontenot say positionless football. Cordell Patterson might be the face of positionless football. Absolutely. And so they make some serious hay with him. And Kyle Pitts might be a tight end because he's so damn big, but you know, you can run him like a wide receiver outside the numbers. And then there's a name that's still sitting out there right now here on the second Tuesday of May. What about Ezekiel Elliott? Yeah, where's he going to play football this fall?
I have a feeling he's going to end up back with us.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show?
Well, that wouldn't be bad, too.
I mean, we do need it.
When he means,
on the goal
line. I didn't know. Are you playing for the Cowboys now?
Are we doing that now all of a sudden? Are we going to start doing, okay, cool. All right. So,
by the way, cool. I wouldn't dispute that notion. not that he shows back up.
Get your damn act together.
Why wouldn't the Bears go get him?
I just think that at some point this summer, I guess, right? Wouldn't it have to be this summer?
You'd think before
on the outside
camp,
of training, but also middle of training camp, he just can just stay in shape. Who the hell wants to go sit in some dormitory and share a
That's
cinder
true.
Block room, you know, with an air conditioner hanging out the window?
Doesn't sound
good. You know what I mean? Like around. Honestly, I just described a lot of training camp situations.
Double
you're
bed.
You're in a dorm on some college campus.
Yeah. Doesn't sound.
Why would you do that if you don't have to?
But when you don't have a job.
True.
Yeah, you might have to do what you got to do.
But Ezekiel Elliott the state of the running back position. Austin Eckler, 18 touchdowns last year. 18. Did you hear the number I just said?
A lot.
That's a lot.
Okay. And in the last 2 years, almost 40. All right. He was told, go seek a trade. He's still on the Chargers.
But they love him.
The Atlanta, of course they do. Why wouldn't you? Because he's great human and great. He's a red zone threat and a human being to the max.
He had 107 catches last year.
He is an amazing player with a huge role to play on this team. Mm-hmm. They need him. And they have him, which is their point. And then you've got another team that drafts a running back top 10 and Ezekiel Elliott sitting at home. You tell me. I don't get it. The running back position is weird and wild, and the defending Super Bowl champs, leading rusher last year was a seventh round rookie. Go figure.
The hell going on?
Thank you.
Apparently, I heard Pacheco also played last year. Did you see his brought him like a torn pec or something during the Super Bowl? He had played injured.
Also lost amongst the last few weeks.
A broken hand and a torn labrum. Sorry, Rich.
Jerick McKinnon returns to Kansas City.
How important was he down this?
He was incredible.
He had to have won people fantasy leagues.
He was incredible.
Yeah.
What's this mean for Clyde then, you think?
I don't know.
He can get his fifth year picked up.
So, hey, look. There are a few teams that can easily survive the missing of a first-round draft choice, and the Kansas City Chiefs are one of them. 49ers appear to be another, you know? So, we'll see. Here's another we'll see. 2 days from now, we find out the schedule. I just found out in a commercial break. I'm just telling all tales out of school about the schedule release show.
Did you get your release?
I have not signed my release, so I can get the schedule release to me earlier.
Do you have the waiver in hand, though?
I don't have a waiver. I haven't read the fine print.
Gotcha. Oh, but you do have it. You have seen it.
It's 2 pages.
Ooh. Whoa.
It's not a game, Rich. This is not a game.
This is not a game.
Donna Kelsey responded.
And it's not practice either.
It responded to us.
Did she really?
Yeah.
What'd you write
on Twitter?
There?
I posted the video.
Oh.
She wrote back, it was already out in the Kansas City Star on May 4th.
Oh.
I'm not privy to anything. LOL.
Oh, I love Mama Kelsey. Is she upset with us now?
No, she laughed. No.
Okay.
She laughed twice. We got a ha-ha and an LOL.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
We love the Kelseys.
Please.
She's fine.
It's a Kelsey-friendly program.
Yes. Yes.
Come on. So,
Son's impact.
At any rate, we love you, Donna.
Yeah.
You know, and so here's another thing. I found a schedule to appear on our schedule release show. One, Joe Willie Namath.
Oh.
Hey, Richie.
Oh, who signed the waiver for the schedule?
Why doesn't Aaron want number 12?
Hey. Why does the league have to lawyer up to give the schedule to their host? Huh?
Are you allowed to say that?
I just did, I guess.
Uh-oh.
Number 8 looks weird.
I thought I'd take the 12 off
take
my
the
back.
12.
I do know one thing. The networks definitely know what's happening.
So well, here
they have
so,
to, right?
So
some, if they don't release
somebody knows.
Of course.
Put the Jets schedule
the networks
up here.
Definitely do.
The Jets will have every maximum of games that you can have. You can have 6 if it's flexed into. There will be 5 scheduled nationally televised Jets games this year. They will get the full max. I'm going to do my best here to predict him right now. Give me NFL Films music.
I
need Films music. I don't know anything, as you know. And the proof of that is I have yet to sign my waiver.
Get the West Side Boys for this one,
Rich. I guess I don't know anything.
I'm
what
nervous
do I know?
For you now. You might not even be able to say this.
What do I know? Because I don't know anything because I haven't signed my waiver yet, and my mother does not subscribe to the Kansas City Star. She doesn't get it here in Los Angeles. Careful, TJ. You can take TJ right now if you want, Hoskins. Because he almost spit take here. Careful. I shouldn't. Careful. All right. Careful.
Fantastic.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Here are the five. Just for you, TJ Jefferson.
We should all try this.
Put it up. Put it up here. Without a doubt, Aaron Rodgers of the Dallas Cowboys is a nationally televised
100%.
Game.
I mean, obviously.
Okay. Yes. No, that is a nationally televised game. I'm going to take one of the two Patriot games. It's going to be nationally televised.
You
all right,
do that. You
and
do that.
I will take Zappy one of the Rogers. Two. One of the two Bills games will be nationally televised.
I like that.
That leaves me two more. Ooh. Mahomes at Rodgers is another nationally televised game, and I'll go Hurts at Rodgers.
Yeah, I like that.
Clearly,
I like that.
And then we're going to get a flex of some sort.
I like that.
We're going to get a late December game, maybe
Dolphins.
Against no.
Dolphins
no.
Flex.
No. The Dolphins, they're not going to flex. Put it out one more time. I'm going to go a flex game because they're going to put one in December that's going to be. Let's ride maybe one of them. I'm serious. The game at Denver might be one of them.
I like the list.
Because you got to have a game that you'll flex into because you think it's going to be worth something, and a broadcaster won't put their chip on it, protecting it early on. Yep. If that's still the way, the rules changed left and right. Yeah. I might be giving you outdated rules. I will say Rodgers. I don't like the Browns.
Browns should be. Nah. I think the Dolphins. Are
like a late,
too.
a late season Browns or late season Giants. Although you can't do that because I've already put two NFC East games and two AFC East games in the possibility of being flexed. Maybe you throw Herbert in there, but I think it might be Let's Ride. Jets in Denver.
I like the way. Yeah.
Rodgers, Russell Wilson. There's NFC playoff history there. Championship game history. If you remember the one where the Packers had Russ dead to rights, and then the onside kick. Sorry to go down this memory lane for the Packers fans there. What do you think?
I think you're on.
You got five games. Jets, the only question is, will Jets at Cowboys be right out of the box, Sunday night football, week one, or will it be the Thanksgiving game?
Ooh.
That's the only question.
Jets ever played on Thanksgiving? That you're aware
of? I'm sure they have. I just don't remember the last time it happened.
We did a game.
Oh, dude, wait a minute. The butt fumble was on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we did.
I didn't want to bring it up. Yes. I didn't want to say
it. It's all right.
I completely forgot
that was Thanksgiving.
Can I remember? I'm sorry. I forgot. My head was completely up my ass.
Didn't we do an NFL Network a game on
that
Thanksgiving?
That was the night game, the butt fumble.
I completely forgot.
It was a night. It was the NBC night game.
Yeah, it was the night
game. The Jets have never played on.
Oh, it was the Giants.
I remember. I think the last game that I visited as a member of NFL Network for the Jets was Jets on a Thursday night in Denver, where Tim Tebow, I watched Tebow time materialize in person. It was a real thing, folks. The Jets and the Broncos played a terrible game. There was hardly any touchdowns. Tebow looked like he was throwing it with his feet. They were booing him. I'm not kidding.
It was bad.
I remember you told me this.
He literally looked like he was taking his foot and gripping the football and winging it with his foot.
It wasn't good.
Whatever his off foot was, too. Not even his
right foot.
His weak foot.
Not great.
He was making weak-footed throws. That's how they were flying into the stands, and people were booing him. And I swear to you, with 4 minutes to go, the guy became John Elway. In front of my eyes,
I remember
they beat the Jets. I remember I was there.
I remember that.
Tebow time was real, people. I saw it. Steelers fans know, too.
Yeah. R.I.P. Demaryius Thomas.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That was the first game with the new overtime rules in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Jim Nance was barely finished telling you the new rules that a touchdown on the first possession wins, and that ball went over the middle to Demaryius Thomas, and he went the distance.
He took
and
off.
And of course, as always, that provided the Patriots with the break they wanted. Because instead of the Steelers going to visit him, Tebow came to visit him.
And the next week.
And did Brady, speaking of breaking something off, Brady and the Patriots broke something off significantly, where I think it's still lost where they broke it off in that game. Correct?
Final score 45-10.
Oh,
it was snowing that day, too. It was a snow game. I watched that at a Vegas casino.
Trust me, any Jet fan will just recall the number of times the Patriots got some sort of a break. But
Chris, those distant memories are going to be all you have, man.
You got to give it up. They also had to cash them in, though. Oof. They cashed every last one of them.
Same day, that amazing Alex Smith, Drew Brees playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
36-32 Niners.
Yeah. That was amazing. Alex Smith was terrific in that game, by the way.
It was like the Owens catch take two.
Yeah. Right?
Alex Smith was terrific in that playoff game.
Great game.
Football's great.
Yes, you could say that again.
I say it, Rich. I love it.
You don't have to sign a waiver.
I don't. Okay. It's not 2 pages long. I was ready.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We will take a break. Coming up in hour number three, Kenny the Jet Smith is joining us to talk NBA playoffs. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more in a moment.
The boys of summer are playing on the Believe podcast.
A product of baseball is much more watchable.
Get your baseball fix from podcasts like Wake and Rake, Farm to Show, and Ring the Bell.
He's not really hitting balls through the screws.
Plus, local podcasts like Believe in Astros and Believe in the Bronx.
You're going to have to get some more innings out of the rotation.
Just search BLEAV podcast wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, we're experiencing technical difficulties with our phone lines. There's a reason why we look down and we're not getting any phone calls, because you're here. The number that we've been giving out for 8+ years,
long time,
is currently not working, and it basically tells everybody, and it makes it sound like I haven't paid my bills, and I have. I do. I'm a member in good standing, so we're working on it, and maybe
I may have an idea.
What'd you do, Mike? Oh. Did you unplug it?
No,
Is it like the airplane where somebody unplugs it and Leon's getting larger?
I think we should just give out your number, Mike.
What do you got?
No, try to get enough calls. I'm gonna check something in the back.
Why don't you check something in the back?
I got a minute.
Yeah, go all for right. it, Mike. Forget it. This just shows
I'm just
you.
Shut my
Mike
mic
Altifo,
off.
Shut your mic off. He's going to go set something
this
in the back.
Is tremendous.
And while Mike goes and fixes whatever might be happening right now,
you're jogging.
Whatever is happening right now, we are now officially able to talk about Mike Altifo as if he's not here, which is really, by the way, there's nothing wrong with the phone lines. I just try to get Mike the hell out of here.
We could have talked about him while he was sitting here. It's not like he's listening.
That's
anyway.
True. We do that anyway.
Stop it. Stop. What's going on here?
Hell going on?
Hell going on? Yeah, we don't got Mike to do the drops. I'll just do them.
So we're getting a bunch of tweets and we're getting texts. You're getting texts from regular, you know.
Shout out to Alan Dallas.
Alan Dallas, like, hey.
Wondering what's
letting
going on.
Letting us know what's happening. So did I not sign the waiver for the phone to work?
How many waivers we have to sign?
I don't know how many waivers. I'm signing a lot of stuff. Signed a lot of stuff.
Okay.
When was the last time the Jets had 4 more nationally televised games than the New England Patriots? Because that's coming.
Oh, my gosh.
That's coming.
Never.
When was the last time the only Patriots nationally televised game was against the Jets?
That might be this year.
I think it's coming.
Unless for some reason.
I don't know, though. You guys are insanely popular.
But something might
there's
get
jerseys
flexed.
All over the place. There's, you know,
yeah,
you guys, you guys and gals.
I mean, I don't know, maybe
from the Patriots world are all over the country.
Something might get flexed later on, but we'll probably only have one scheduled.
Right. So while we're just waiting for Mike Altifo to handle all this stuff,
me.
This is a good question. Mm-hmm. What happened with Scott Foster last night?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you hold on a second.
Jeez.
The NBA official who gets the most amount of grief, as if he's doing things just for himself, or he's doing things just to point out who he is and how important he is in the world, and also how you think he's taking directives from some murky figure in the league office who puts their finger on the scale for either television purposes or for any other purposes. What happened to Scott Foster last night? You said that he was going to ensure that the Warriors and Lakers goes seven. Last night, he had many opportunities.
He did.
And instead, what he did, you know what he did? He reffed a pretty damn good basketball
game
last night.
He did. It was actually a really good game. You can't...
Out of him.
See, here's the deal. Here's the thing. Scott Foster can only do so much. He's only one man with a whistle. He needs some help on the other end. Like, you know, say a guy goes 3 of 14 from 3.
Like Clay.
Or when another guy who you gave $30 million to is 0 for 4 in 10 minutes.
Jordan Poole.
He can't really, you know.
He can't work with that.
Yeah, you know, you got ingredients and you got a final product you're going for.
Jump ball that occurred.
I'm trying.
On the final jump ball that occurred at center court. LeBron could have easily been called for shoving Steph down onto the floor. And Scott Foster was staring right at it and ate his whistle.
Good.
He could have easily put Steph on the line. Steph could have made the first, purposely missed the second, and who knows what would have happened with a ball popped up in the air, you know, and then suddenly we could have had overtime, which is what, by the way, I wanted, although it was a really late night for the Eisen household. We had all the kids wanted to stay up and watch.
Overtime, that game.
School night.
Bad shooting night. I mean, look, the Warriors were 12 of 41 from three. The Lakers. Big free throw advantage. Made all 20 for 20. They were great from the line. Big Austin Reeves night. Look, the Lakers were just better last night. Plain and simple. I don't think the officiating, as much as I was kind of tongue-in-cheeking it yesterday with Chris Mannix, like, wouldn't have been a factor. The Lakers were better.
Was your tongue?
Night.
You were just cheeking
I don't know
it.
That was tongue-in-cheek.
You were tonguing it. You were using your tongue.
You were saying it with your chest, actually.
I did really think all that was going
to
happen.
I know that. You thought for sure Anthony Davis would have two fouls after the first quarter and he had zero.
He played great. 23-15 last night.
But like you said, this is not an exact science, right?
Not an exact science. Sometimes you miss.
What were you able to do with the phone lines, Mike? Anything?
No. Okay. I reset.
Well, let's double check.
No.
It's still up. We appreciate everybody's patience.
All right.
Tweet us.
Yeah.
At Rich Eisen Show, and we'll answer your questions on a tweet.
How about that? Yeah.
We'll do it old school.
Somebody send a question real quick.
Send up a flare wherever you are in the United States.
Do a mailbag.
We'll notice it.
Let's see who's the first one who's going to do this.
Okay.
Be like old school Nintendo. Should we just like blow some air in it?
Right. In the cartridge?
Yeah.
Did you turn it off and turn it back on again? Because that's the way I handle things.
That was the first thing. Mike Hoskin.
You did
actually,
that first?
Yes, that was, of course, when Mike kind of. I fixed it before like that. So I was kind of like, maybe that will work.
You fixed what before?
The phone system.
You literally turned it off and turned it back on again?
I went back and reset it and it came back.
Yeah, but Mike, people are getting a message that says
it's the number's disconnected. Yeah. It's no longer at working order. At least they're admitting it used to work.
I'm sickened right now.
Before somebody pulled the plug
on
us.
When the phone lines are down,
Adam has nothing to do in the back.
Right. What's he doing back there then?
Wait a minute. Here's my question. It just hit me. If the phones haven't been working for 2 days, what has he been doing?
He's been wondering why no one's called.
Hold on.
Where is everybody?
I go back there and he goes, I just thought nobody was calling. Adam,
I just thought we
this
were.
This is your gig. Certainly. It'd be like,
you can't blame him.
No, I'm not blaming him. I'm joking.
Well, you were kind of just doing that.
We could blame him.
You could. You could wonder why an alarm wasn't raised within him. Is what I'm saying.
Which is what? Maybe we're just.
Wow. Wait a minute. Maybe 50 phone calls a day, and now all of a sudden the phone hasn't rang in 48 hours.
If you're working in a pizzeria, you're waiting for an order. You're hanging out.
Yeah.
And the phone's not ringing, and you're like, "Why is no one calling for pizzas?"
By the way,
you
just said the word very New Jersey way.
Pizzeria.
People around the country said, "Oh man, I wish I could call up and say it's called pizzeria."
No, it's a pizzeria.
Pizzeria.
Pizzeria. Pizzeria.
I'm with Del Tufo on that. You know, us East Coasters, that's how we think.
Wow. Yeah.
One thing that Tom Telesco is not doing now is watching NFL Network. They're replaying the wild card game.
No.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
There it is. This is when you've gone two questions too long. This is what the guest says.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
There you go. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sorry, folks.
That's when I knew in high school I had no shot with the girl I was calling when she'd say, all
"Hey,
right,
thanks for having me on."
That's what, well, she didn't say that. That's she'd be like, "All right, I'm gonna let you go."
Yeah,
wait a minute. What is it? Do you ever do that on the phone? I'll let you go.
I'll let you go.
That's
well,
when you know
I
it's over.
I haven't indicated I wish to be let go.
Right,
but I have.
I did that yesterday to somebody. I
go, you know, so I'm gonna let you go.
So clearly, I'm still wearing these scars of inviting people to the prom.
What was her name?
I'm not going to go there.
Oh.
She's probably watching right
people
now.
People have Facebook accounts, man.
I know. That was going to go on her page right now.
I draw the line at that. So, but I'll let you go. That's what Tom Telesco did to me.
That's how you should sign off on the show every day from now on. I'll let you go.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Play that one more time.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
There's what he said.
Yep. He was done.
Okay, so Kenny the Jet Smith is going to join us in hour number three of this program. He and the NBA on TNT crew tonight have not one but two Game Fives, Sixers and Celtics. Oh, baby.
I don't even want to watch.
Yeah, probably I've been texting. We might not watch this game.
Why? I don't want to watch.
Because my heart was palpitating so hard that last game. I'm like, I don't think this is healthy for me. So I don't think I want to watch it.
Even if we have a 15-point lead, we're going to do something stupid, and then it's going to be a close game at the end. I'm not going to be able to tell me pacing around the house.
And I'm going to be mad because James Harden's going to have like 8 points today, and I'm going to be like, what happened?
You might be bad.
These guys are mad. They're getting upset. Their
team's irrelevant.
The Yankees suck right now, and they're not even sniffing.
And this is a playoff game, and he's talking about the Judge is coming back tonight, though. So it's all about the change.
Judge is back tonight.
Yeah. But honestly, I'm kind of embarrassed to even have Kenny the Jet Smith on with this attitude.
My heart rate just increased, like just talking about it.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell's happening here.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
With her assistant, Jess.
What you did not see is when Raquel arrives and she wants to talk to me, I made her sit in a corner. Explain. Sat in a corner booth all by herself in the dark.
Waiting to talk to you.
Waiting for me to finish dancing to 50 Cent. It's my birthday. Sit in a corner.
Give Them Lala wherever you listen.